I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're live. Welcome to Fam for All Moms. My name is Shahrzad Kiade. This is Susan Yara. And as promised, Elizabeth Hunterton joins us again.
Part I love how three. She's so excited for you. She just skipped right over me. She's like, do I have to introduce that?
We got old news as well.
There's a ghost in the corner.
Sorry. I'm excited. If you didn't know, joining me to my right is Susan Yara.
Oh, I'm so important, like Kitty. And Kitty's here too.
I need to do like a bit with Kitty on Instagram, but I'm not sure if I want to do her morning routine.
Like, we can do it on a mixed makeup where you do a morning skincare routine with Kitty, because Kitty, you have to see Kitty to really get the full picture.
It's like she does have like a voice, but she also, like, you guys know, it's like tits out, lips out.
Her tits and lips are out.
If you guys don't know, there was a whole other last episode where
you guys don't know, I'm a lunatic.
Well, no, Shahrzad's the most hilarious person to hang out with. Well, actually, I've got probably my two most hilarious friends to hang out with in one room. And so we're on second episode of recording. And so we're in the goofies, even though we're about to address a very serious story. It's kind of, you know, it's like, maybe it's our mechanism is to like,
it's like a coping mechanism.
Yeah, because we're always joking, all three of us, but all three of us can also, we have like some serious things have happened in our lives for sure, but we always make everything a joke to the point where sometimes I find that
it makes people uncomfortable.
I cope through comedy.
Yes, do I.
100% cope through comedy.
As do I.
Whether it's self-deprecating or it's typically self-deprecating with me.
It makes people uncomfortable.
It makes people so I'm sure I make so many people uncomfortable because I'm perverted. First of all,
well, that has nothing to do with coping. She's just perverted.
It was just like, a creep.
Well, and I feel like I have so much perverted comedy in my head, and I let it out when I'm super comfortable with people, but I also let it out sometimes just to get a rise out of somebody.
Like a fart. Sometimes
I'm not a
people
farter.
Find it funny.
Yeah, sometimes they're just like, they slowly step backwards away from me and make a mental note to like never
farter.
Talk to me again and
just
go away.
I think most people absolutely love you. That's actually the I think people end up loving both of you guys. So I love you
That's
guys.
Good.
I love you ladies.
Too. It's a love fest.
It is.
We're
it
all
is.
Together, and it's just so fun to be in a room with people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get COVID friendly. We're separated.
We sure
our producer
are.
In here has a mask on when he's in here. He just kind of hit record and left us.
Yeah, he did.
He's like, you guys are big. You are big girls. I'm gonna press record and go.
Yeah.
So we're gonna skip the questions because we've had Liz on here a few times. Mm-hmm. We've answered some fun questions, and I want to make sure we give the proper amount of time for you to dive into this part three and say whatever you want to say, and we will stop whenever you want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your story.
Yeah. Well,
so you're allowed to edit as you see, please.
Okay. Yes. Well, also, before you get into the story so that we don't have to interrupt, if you don't know, we have two episodes, prior episodes with Elizabeth Hunterton. She is one of our really good friends. She was abandoned as a baby at the Reno airport, And the story has become really, really interesting. Not that it wasn't already, but even more interesting because we last left you guys knowing that she was on the hunt for her biological mom and had really good leads. Mm-hmm. And I've had so many DMs, emails, people just being like, I need to know what happens to the rest of the story, which let's hear where you're at right now. It's not final, right? Like we haven't finished the story, but
so first I do have to thank both of you for allowing me to share this story. But for the fam community, you know, I've gotten so many, the outpouring of love and support, you know, whether it was private messages or comments or posts, have been so kind.
Good.
And I have read them often and recently, to extract the strength I need to keep going. So yeah, it was interesting because the last time you asked me to come on to recap what we thought was a complete story. We found biological moms 1, 2, and 3 had concluded it was one, done. So round one was a week long, find 3 moms, lose 3 moms, mourn 3 moms, close that book a week later. So that was a 2-week journey. When I came on the show the last time, 2 days before, I had found out it couldn't be biological mom number one. And 90 minutes before we recorded, I'd found out that the key, the uncle who was supposed to connect all of my dots, had passed away. And so I think you guys caught me at a particularly vulnerable moment because I didn't know if the search had stopped. What that ended up being was the starting point for round two. Biological mother search round two, which led me to biological mothers 4 and 5. And
like 2 more candidates.
Two more.
I just have chills. And
I know it's,
I'm such a crier and I already feel like I'm just going to breathe through my tears and drink my water.
You know what's so crazy?
Because I don't want to distract you with my emotions.
What?
I'll probably join
which
you.
Are all over the place.
I'm already
tearing.
I'll probably join you. Yeah. You know, again, round one was a week long. We are now on week 9 of round two. Round two has been so much more complicated to the point where, again, because it is still actively unfolding and right now boundaries are very important in my life for obvious reasons, I can't thoroughly unpackage all things round two yet because emotionally I'm just not in a place where I can do that in a way that I can speak protectively about the people that are involved. What I can say is that I do believe I have found my biological mother.
Oh, she's getting right to it. I thought she was going to like give you guys a little. So the producer in me was like, we were going to save that for the end, but okay.
Well,
she found her biological mom. She did. But it's still tricky.
But it's complicated.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So here's the
99%.
Okay, that's what I was going
to
ask.
But this is where it gets hard, right? Because usually the closer you get to the answer or the solution, mm-hmm. the fewer questions you have. That is not happening here. And so this time around, because again, I was sure with biological mother number one, like I was sure it was her.
I wasn't.
Well, you know, Susan's always right.
I'm always right.
So this time around, I am waiting in the process right now of waiting for the DNA confirmation, which I should have in 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, let's get into it. Let's get into what happened after you talked with us on that last episode. You had gotten you'd found out about that potential uncle, found out he's passed away, then found out about a cousin, another cousin. Well, you'd known about this, like it was a second cousin that you were going to get on the phone with, right?
Yeah. So 2 days before I came on the show, I'd found out about this new second cousin and put together my family tree and knew that biological mother number one had been ruled out. So I reached out to biological mother number two, the young one who would have been 14 when she got pregnant with me, who remains a close part of this journey. Like she's a doll and I adore her and she's very much a part of this journey. She reaches out to the original connection that's happened in March.
Second
on 23 cousin number one.
Mm. Yeah, 23andMe.
She reaches out to her and says, you need to reach out to Elizabeth and answer her questions. So the original second cousin very much becomes ingrained in this journey. And so I put together this very comprehensive family tree. Like this family tree is pretty epic. It's got 54 squares with dates and marriage dates and offsprings. And at the bottom is this little unconnected box that says me, question mark. And like, I know I belong to someone, I just don't know who it is. And so, you know, I have a conversation with the original second cousin and she, I was like, just just walk me, well, actually, first of all, I said, please apologize to biological mom number one's brother and her family. I didn't mean to desecrate her memory. I didn't mean to disrespect her because she had passed, and I never meant to shift that.
I think you walked that very, like, you were very light with that. Yeah.
Like, it's still, you never want to disrupt somebody's life. Yeah. Right. And she was like, he's not angry with you. Like, her brother's not angry with you. And in fact, like, we are all part of your journey and we'll help you in any way we can.
Are these, like, biological mom one, two, and three, are they related to you, like, in some way? Is that, I guess?
Yes. Yes.
Like, they're for sure in some
way
related to you.
They would be second cousins or second cousins once removed.
Okay, got it.
With the exception of biological mother number two is not related in any way, shape, or form, okay, other than a profound connection.
But she's related to people that are related to you.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, this family tree, because in order to find the genetic possibilities, I had to build out 5 complete families trees.
Yeah.
To find the one intersection where I belonged. Mm-hmm. And as I was talking to the second cousin, I said, you know, please walk me through these names. And, you know, I'm crossing names off of, no, have that, have that, have that. And she said, well, my father, the uncle who had passed, did have a cousin named Mary. I was like, Mary Smith? Mary Smith, who has 3 offspring?
Yeah.
Wait a second. And Mary Smith then became the only genetic possibility who could have birthed my biological mother. Mm. Mary Smith has 3 children. 1 son, who is not my biological father, so I cross him off the list. She has 2 daughters. That enters biological mother's
Mary Smith is a made-up name, if that wasn't obvious.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. That brings in biological mothers 4 and 5.
The sisters.
Yes. The
okay,
two sisters become the only 2 genetic possibilities. And beyond that, like, what happens next, I can't unpackage without unpackaging a whole lot of other stuff that is just not ready to be revealed yet.
It's that time of year where we're all trying to figure out which gifts to get for our kids, and I encourage you to take a look at KiwiCo. If you don't know what KiwiCo is, it's a subscription service, and they send hands-on science and art projects to your door, so you get to send a gift to your own child that sparks curiosity and learning all year round. I especially love KiwiCo because I have 2 children. One of them is 1 year old, another is 3, and they have projects for both of them. We recently started playing with one for my daughter Isla, who is 1, and it's just so much fun to see her. You know, they have this panda as their mascot, and she loves to play with all of the different panda toys that they give her. She's learning so much, and you can just see the excitement she gets from accomplishing, you know, all of the little projects that she gets sent. You can get your kids a super cool hands-on science, art, and geography project delivered to your door every single month, and it encourages your children to be innovators and creative thinkers. It's my favorite thing about KiwiCo. It's hard to find new creative ways to keep the kids busy while stretching their brain, especially these days when we're really just stuck in the house. So give KiwiCo a try. KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with the code FAM, F-A-M, at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com/FAM.
Round one, I think, prepared me in a lot of ways for what was coming from round two. What I will say, round two, including motherhood, this has been the most transformative experience of my life. Above motherhood, above anything mm-hmm. else, round two, I am a different person here today than I have ever been in my life, than I was last time I came, in all the most beautiful ways. Transformation has always been my goal, which I know makes discomfort inevitable. What I did not know until round two is that the magnitude of one's transformation does dictate the magnitude of one's discomfort. This is hands down the most painful experience of my life. And again, I do have depression. I have anxiety. I'm diagnosed PTSD. And I have explained to people, like, PTSD when I'm triggered is like a well and I fall to the bottom. And you all might be able to look in and say, wow, that is really dark and scary. But that bottom 10 feet of that well, I'm the only one that can go down there. And at 10 feet, 1 inch, there's a hand grip or a rope and I can get out, but I do have to get out of that bottom 10 feet. What round two taught me is that at the bottom of that well, and that bottom 10 feet is scary. Like that's where my nightmares live, right? And it's the scariest place anybody can fathom. What I didn't know is, round two taught me, is there's actually a drop hatch at the bottom of that PTSD well that allows me to drop plummet another 1,000 feet. And that is where pure pain lives. It's not fear, it's pain. I am now day 16 of being able to get out of bed and function and join the real world. But this was hands down the most painful experience of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find my biological mother, I think, 2 days ago, a day and a half ago. I was in a deep dive in my research, combing through every public record in the history of the state of California. And I found my birth record.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yes.
And
oh my God.
Are we going to tell her the part that tripped me out?
Yes.
Okay. I have chills. Oh my God.
I know. I'm not in a place yet where I can process it yet.
Okay.
But I will. I find my birth record and.
Well, do you want to say where you were born or anything like that? Or are we
holding
that? Yeah.
So it turns out I was born in Monterey, California. So here's what I know at this point in Monterey. So here's what I know at this point. I found my biological mother. I was born in a hospital. Weirdest thing. That to me is the one point that is the hardest thing for me to accept because that does not make sense. My biological mother was not the person who left me at the airport.
Yeah.
What?
I know. I just got chills even though I already knew that.
Yeah.
I still get chills. Wait, this is so fresh.
When's your birthday?
So, if this record is mine, which I don't see how it could not be, this record does not exist beyond being born.
Yeah.
I can't even do a background check on this person because this person does not, this person exists because it's me, but this person does not exist.
Which is a whole other thing that I like am so hung up on.
Wait a minute.
Is that there's a person that was born that has a birth certificate.
Might have been, like, kidnapped?
No.
Not kidnapped. I did think I might have been kidnapped at one point. At one point, that was a possibility.
Sorry if my mind just went super dark, but...
No,
but no, that was a possibility.
Yeah.
And I think in a lot of it... So, well, let me go back. So...
Birthday.
Give her
what we found out. Yeah. Well, what we... See, I'm so, like, as if I did the research.
a day and a half ago, I found my birth record. And again, this person does not exist beyond January 6th. So my birthday is January 17th. That's the day I was found.
Right.
That she celebrates.
But now,
yeah, of course.
See, right. And this is where, when people say like, how do you feel? I'm like, I'm so disoriented right now.
Yeah.
Because everything I know to be true is true. But everything that has always been true is also true. And neither are wrong. That is a very strange place to ask somebody to be logical.
Yeah.
So...
She was born on January 6th.
I was born on January 6th, 1980, in Monterey, California. There is a record of me at a hospital, even though investigators since 1980 have told me there is no record of me at a hospital, because if they were looking for records for a Black baby, they would not find a record for a Black baby because my biological mother was Japanese and did not list a father on my birth certificate.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
So I am Asian on my birth certificate. Yeah. So there would not be a record of a Black baby. What I also found, and this was poor timing and not a great choice, when I was in my darkest days, there were 4 days where I spent in bed, which not particularly proud, but not ashamed. So in those dark days, I decided it'd be a good time to pull out my adoption records, which again, not smart.
Hey, but when you're feeling dark, it's like you just keep opening the old wounds. And I've been in a lot of dark places before.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you also want to try to make sense of this, right?
Yeah.
And so I went to my adoption records. I was like, oh, look. Okay, so my parents were approved to be potential adoptive parents. They have this approval letter that they got the month before they got me. But... it says in this letter, it will be 36 months before a social worker will come to your home to do an inspection to even see if you are fit to be an adoptive parent. And so I'm sitting there looking at this paperwork wondering, well, how did they get me less than a month later? Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I also see in my paperwork, they have to ask a judge for an exception because every other parent who had already been approved to be an adoptive parent and the waiting list of people who had been on that list longer than 28 days, like my parents, all said no to adopting a Black baby. So I was like, okay, so that's cool. I'm this baby who my own parents don't want enough to leave at the airport. And then an entire 36-month waiting list also doesn't want. Cool. So I'm like the least wanted baby ever. That's really awesome. Good for you. That's amazing. And so I've learned a lot. And I know that narrative isn't necessarily true, but that is part of what has made this so difficult. So yes, I was born in Monterey on January 6th. The name on my birth certificate, I don't know if I'm ready to disclose the full name, but the middle name on my birth certificate is Elizabeth.
Shut
I know.
Up.
I yes.
know. I know.
And her mom said to her.
Because you're, okay.
Her mom I said know. To her, by her adoptive mom said to her.
So I call my mom after, as this is all
and
unfolding.
When you say mom, you're talking about the woman who raised you.
Yes.
Yeah. The
yes.
person that you've always called
yes,
mom.
Yes, so biological yeah. mother will always be referred to. She gets the adjective, whereas my mom is my mom.
Okay.
So I call my mom and I was like, Mom, you are not going to believe this. I think I found my birth record. And she was like, what did you do? I was like, okay, first of all,
Sorry, Mom. That's funny the way that, well, what did you
what
do?
What have you done? Well, because the place I was born has closed. There was an accident when they were transporting the records from that what? Place to the state capitol.
Like, go figure.
And if it really? Survived and was put in St. Louis where it belonged, there was a fire there 2 years ago. So a lot of the records,
yeah.
it's so ridiculous. But whatever. So I was calling
this
my
is
mom.
A movie.
The whole thing is so, there are so many points in this. I've said, this is the craziest story I've ever heard. Oh, wait, it's mine. But I called my mom, I think it was yesterday. And I said, Mom, you're not going to believe this. I think I found my birth record. And she's like, what'd you do? And I was like, okay, it was public record. I just did a deep, arduous, long, exhausting search for every baby that has been born in the history of the state of California. And she's like, okay. And I said,
casual.
I said, I think I found it, Mom. My middle name that my birth mother gave me is Elizabeth. And she was like, you know, I knew the minute I looked at you, I came to child welfare to pick you up. And the nurse said, what do you want to name her? Right now, her name is either Airport Baby or mm-hmm. Jane Doe. And she said, she looked at me and she said, she looks like an Elizabeth.
What a trip.
Isn't that wild?
Of all the names in the
it's
world.
It's so interesting because you took so much time naming yes. your son and you really wanted to like see him and find a good name
yeah.
for him and that your mom needed the woman who raised you needed to see you and then name you.
And she thought I looked like an Elizabeth
yeah.
as did the woman who gave birth to me. It's like I was destined to be an Elizabeth, right?
Yes.
And it's but you know, and here's where it gets difficult because I am now my very logical mind is being asked to live in this space where there is no record of me at a hospital. There is a record of me at a hospital. Both of those are true, but they contradict each other.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday is January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
It is also January 17th. Both of those are true, but they contradict each other.
Right.
And in this space...
Well, it's identity. It's well, we yeah. go back to
and
identity.
And that's what's so interesting because that word never resonated with me, but I have thought about it a lot since the last time I was here. And right now, if you take this structure of identity and you recreate the foundation, but the structure has to remain the same,
mm-hmm.
that does not make sense.
This episode of FAM is brought to you by OxiClean, our favorite versatile stain remover.
Yes, you know, I've been boozing it up lately with Lucky 7 bourbon in my home, and I may have spilled a little bit here and there, Susan.
When you're dancing, have you guys ever seen Scherzade drink? She's the most happy-go-lucky drinker. She's like a glass in her hand, shake it till you make it. You know, like she's a have fun drinker. I love spending the holidays with you and doing things like that. It's good. Just fun to see you have a good time.
I'm a fun person. You know, I don't need drinks to have fun, but it sure does make things quite nice. And then occasionally you have a little spill.
So how do you clean that?
OxiClean.
What's surprising is how spotless your house really actually is. You have two rambunctious boys, but your house is spotless. I think also because it's a new house, like you really take that pride too, right?
And my boys know they have to clean up.
That's
I run
true.
A tight ship with them. They have chores and they know it. Absolutely. You know, we talk a lot about OxiClean, and guess what? Here's your time to try it for free. You've got to try OxiClean, versatile stain remover for yourself. To work your magic with OxiClean, go to OxiClean.com/try me and order a free sample. That's OxiClean.com/TRYME for a free stain-fighting sample while supplies last.
So you're fine. She's fighting with herself all day long.
So strange.
I can see it in her text messages and when we talk and everything.
Well, yeah, it's like doing this dance between
what is real and what isn't, who you were before.
Or I don't even know how to say it.
Like what else has always been true?
Yeah,
that I am just now finding out, because both are true,
mm-hmm.
right?
And that is a very strange mm-hmm. place to be. And so, you know, people have asked, like, "Well, how do you feel?" I'm like, I'm very disoriented.
Yep.
Because if I had to describe it, I feel like I have a giant bowl of spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, "So tell me about every noodle in it." And I'm like,
right. Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm going to fill in some blanks here because I know that you're being very careful.
Yeah.
And you can tell me, mm-hmm. you can tell us, like, obviously, like, mm-hmm. no, we don't want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. But let me kind of backtrack as the friend
mm-hmm.
who is like hearing all this. So she talks to the second cousin, the one that made the first connection on 23andMe in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So she has this conversation, calls me up, and she's like, "There are these two other people." Mm-hmm. Actually, three, because there's a guy, right?
Yeah, but he's not my father. So he's out. Not.
Yeah, so yeah, he can't be her father.
He's out.
There's two sisters,
mm-hmm.
and it's between these two sisters. Liz, because she's become a master researcher at this point, like things I'm like, I thought I was really good, and I'm a reporter, right? Like I know how to find things. She can really find stuff now.
Right.
Anyway, so she finds pictures. So we start looking at pictures of these two potential moms. We start like, you know, debating like this one or this one, this one or this one. One of them matches the description of the woman that left her at the airport.
Right.
So we're like, it could be this one because, you know, she matches.
Yeah.
The other one does not match the description. But for some reason, our gut was kind of like, bingo.
The moment we saw her picture, I was like, oh, it's her.
And they're both still alive.
They're both still alive.
Okay.
Yeah. And she has now made connection with them.
With both.
Both of them. So here's how it went, though. So we're laughing because she thinks that her biological mom sort of looked like me.
There was a moment.
And
Susan.
And I'm like, is it because we're Asian?
Susan,
okay,
Susan, I see.
Mom?
Mommy!
I'm glad we can like laugh
because you have to, and you obviously have
a sense of humor.
Yeah.
But
we're like, okay, so this is weird. This is like one of the first things where we're like, this is weird because the other sister matches description of the person who left her at the airport. The other one, just in her gut, we're like, bingo, like the way her physical features were like, that seems like she's the one, though.
Wow.
But that enters a whole new narrative.
Yeah.
For the first time, the woman who left me at the airport may not have been my biological mother.
Right. Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That goes against everything I've ever known.
Well, so then your story has always been that she cared about you.
Yeah.
And left you at the airport because
it rewrote everything.
Yeah, I know.
So where'd you get this picture? The internet?
Yeah.
The internet.
I've heard of that.
Her senior picture, her senior yearbook is the only one that's not available online. So I buy one on eBay.
Yeah, she did. She bought one.
Oh, wow. Like, amazing.
Listen.
Like, well, I'm, yeah, I mean, I'll be sitting around and I get text messages with just pictures.
And she's like, where are you getting this? I'm like, don't worry about it. Better that you don't know.
Wait a minute. Speaking of that, have you, you obviously don't have to say this. Have you ever hired a private investigator?
Yes.
Well, I tried. Susan, like, yes. No,
her
I
name
tried.
Is Susan Yara.
I tried to hire an investigator, and I gave them everything I had, and they told me they can't help me because they don't have a birth date, they don't have a birthplace, they don't have a race. It's the perfect abandon. They don't even have a name. It's Jane Doe.
Yeah.
And so the ethnicity is such an interesting
ambiguous
thing that I didn't even think
there's
of
no
that it would
designating. So even so now I even have my birth date and my birth name and my birthplace. I can't even claim that birth certificate because for in the FAQs about adoption, to get your birth certificate, you have to prove that your name changed from what's on the birth certificate to your adopted name. I'm still Jane Doe on paper. So I can't even claim the birth certificate because
she needs a social security number, which she does not have. It's her own social security number that she does not have.
Isn't that weird?
And then wouldn't your biological mom be able to essentially help you out here?
So last night.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is.
Oh gosh. I know this. This is news for me. Okay.
Last night, my biological mother reached out and we have been emailing. Like,
Wait a minute.
Okay, wait. Actually, okay. So hold that thought. Let me catch everybody
you catch
up a little
you're
bit
better
more.
At this.
Okay, so you're processing.
Well,
so
because my mind is so sleepy.
We've also put you on the spot since you walked in. Like, tell us everything, and you're so well spoken that sometimes you just need a little. Okay, so
So it goes between these two women. We're kind of like sister, who matches the description of the woman that left her at the airport. We've decided this is the one to get in touch with because she is either the biological mom
or the sister
and left her at the airport. This is us guessing.
Right.
Who risks everything to leave me at the airport.
Leave her at the airport. We're like,
we need to reach out to her.
You need to reach out to her because she could be one or the other. So she's kind of the key.
And you're reaching out like what? Over Facebook?
No. Well, so I did reach out via Facebook. And honestly, you know, throughout this process, like my friends are like, how are you doing? And I had actually thought, like, I was like, this is harder on my friends than it is on me. Like, I've got 40 years of defense and coping mechanisms.
Right.
When I sat down to write the handwritten letter to biological mother number 5, the woman, the sister that we're talking about that we think left me at the airport, I am gutted. Mm-hmm. It was the most heart-wrenching process. And I was like, okay, yeah, I get it, universe. There is no way this is harder on anyone on the planet than this is on me.
Yeah.
That process was so heartbreaking.
And we also decide to contact her first because we find her daughter, her biological daughter, and she seems cool. Like that's just, like we find her online. Like
so
she's got a Facebook
doing,
profile,
like a deep dive,
Twitter.
Internet, social media sort of stalking
like,
thing
yeah.
to see. Not stalking,
well,
but
kind
investigating.
Of. We're like, you know, checking out these people.
I was scared.
Of course. Oh
you
my
know,
God.
I was really
yeah.
scared. They have a very minimal electronic footprint.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, what if this is their secret that they're willing to protect? Like, how far will they go?
She really was. She's like, what if
I was
like,
having a very hard time?
Yeah. Like,
I mean, of course, you can spiral into any thoughts to protect yourself from reaching out to find maybe some truths that you don't want to know.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
We're designed to protect ourselves.
Yes. Yep.
So reach out.
She reaches out. Yeah, you pointed at me. I'm not doing anything. I'm just over here.
Like,
even
morphed into one. Like the team. You the team.
I'm just her cheerleader, honestly.
Okay, so Elizabeth reaches out to
via Facebook.
Aunt.
Yeah,
potential
aunt, or like, maybe a biological mom.
Okay, right.
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. She reaches out via Facebook. I'm going to speed this up for you because we only have so much time.
I know.
Reaches out via Facebook. Doesn't hear anything. Decides, and you can see if people check the message. Nothing's checked. Sends an email to a potential like email address, nothing in response, decides she's going to send a handwritten letter, like old school, right? Yeah. So you want to pick it up from there?
Yeah. So that the letter, difficult to write. And I get to this part where I say, I know you owe me nothing, but it's my sincerest hope that you will find it in your heart to answer the one question I've had my entire life is, are you my biological mother? Are you my biological aunt? I write that and I have a complete meltdown, because I'm like, what if I strive so hard to be a good person and to do all the right things and I'm not even worth a response? What if I'm not even worth a freaking answer? I've asked you for nothing. And what if I'm not even enough for that? And that levels me. And then ends up being a really transformative experience writing this letter. And then a few days later,
she's texting me. She should have gotten the letter by now.
Yeah,
she should have gotten the letter.
Like, and I can feel it. Like, I can feel the weight of it, right? And I get this text message that says, "Hi, my mom received your letter. I think I'm your cousin. Can you talk today at 3:30?
Oh,
so this confirms that
I'm your cousin. Yeah,
this is my biological mother is the woman that we thought it was. And I remember I was sitting here processing it, and I was, you know, and then I started recording it because I'm in this process of recording everything right now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, recording
this.
It.
You want to remember this?
Absolutely.
And so I was recording it, and, you know, Susan calls as I'm like, oh my gosh, it's her, it's four, it's biological mother number four, it's four. And then I call Susan, and I can't talk about what it was that threw me into this panic attack, but I was just like, what if X? And I've had anxiety my entire life. I know when I'm going to have a panic attack. This one came out of nowhere. Yeah. I mean,
she's talking to me on the phone and suddenly just like
full blown, like full blown panic attack, because it caused me. We talk about that self-protection.
Yeah.
It caused me to look one of my fears directly in the eye and say, what if?
Yeah.
And just the thought of it, because I put everything in this biological box and I don't open it.
Yeah.
There are just three things I'm afraid of that I know I cannot handle.
This episode of Fam for All Moms is brought to you by Homeschool Magnet. Parents who homeschool or want to homeschool, are you overwhelmed with all of the work and responsibilities on your shoulders right now? I'm sure that you are. I can say yes, because I am a parent and I'm overwhelmed. And for the parents with kids in school, have you avoided the need to pull your student out of the school system because it just seems too daunting to homeschool them yourself? Well, Homeschool Magnet is for parents just like you. Homeschool Magnet supports homeschooling families by providing students with instruction from world-class credentialed teachers in a remote classroom with their peers. Parents choose the best teachers for each student based on values and teaching approach to ensure every child is receiving exactly the education they desire. This puts you as the parent in full control of your child's education without the daily responsibilities of lesson planning, pre-learning, teaching, tutoring, and grading. Each student will receive instruction in four core subject areas of math, English language, arts, science, and social studies. And so parents ultimately have the freedom to involve their student in as much or as little learning as they prefer based on each student's learning goals. With Homeschool Magnet, you get the freedom and control of homeschooling without the burden. Homeschool Magnet is only a fraction of the cost of private schools, and the 30-day money-back guarantee upon enrollment means this choice is risk-free. Plus, enrollment and tuition are on a per-semester basis, so you're only committing for a short period of time, giving you even more flexibility and control to shape your child's education. To learn more about Homeschool Magnet's student experience, go to homeschoolmagnet.com and join the growing waiting list.
So she was worried. She's like, what if I find out one of these?
Yeah.
And I was like, don't. Poosh,
panic attack.
Yeah. And I was like, don't even. That's not what you should be focused on right now.
Yeah.
Like, you have found an answer to something. You have waited 40 years.
40 years in the making. And I do end up talking to my cousin that day, and my second cousin, and biological mom number two, and biological mom number one's brother. Like, through all of this. And yes, I have walked through fire and hell. But I found my biological mother. I did what I came to do. I have found acceptance and belonging in my maternal biological and my biological mother's family.
Like, they all are like so warm and welcoming.
Yes.
From what it seems like.
And that's what's been, you know, when we were when this all kind of unfolded, like, I was sitting in my chair and my husband was like, babe, you know, I never understood when you used to say, I hope it's enough. Like, I hope I've done enough to earn the approval of my biological parents. Like, I hope I've done enough. He's like, I never understood it. But now, as I've watched it play out, every single person that you have contacted on this journey is now part of your story. If they research or they Google you and they see something different, maybe they're not. He's like, you did it. It was enough.
Yeah.
And that is a pretty beautiful thing that I can stop striving for the approval of some potential biological relatives.
Yeah.
I have it. I have communication with my biological mother. We're both healing and have to take it slow because this is a lot. This was a story, a secret she had kept for 40 years.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. And is...
Think about the gravity of that.
I know.
Had never spoken about it. I mean...
But did the sister
knew.
Know?
Sister knew, right? As
the
far as we know?
The sister suspected. The sister suspected.
Something.
This woman 40 years ago had to hide a pregnancy and...
Have a baby. At a hospital. I keep saying at an airport.
Yeah.
At a hospital. But what ends up happening is that my biological mother has me in a hospital. This third party gets me and leaves me at an airport. My biological mother finds out what happened and has a mental breakdown. Her life is stunted then when she finds out that I was left at an airport. And
wait, so she did know that you got left at an airport?
Yeah, that was, she found that out before she had a mental breakdown.
Wait a second. Okay, so wait, there's something that you and I need to catch up on then. So, okay, so the last I spoke to you, she said she didn't know that you were left at an airport. She thought that you were left at an adoption agency.
She did. And then once she was told about the airport, she had a mental breakdown because she thought I was taken to an adoption agency.
Got it.
But when you look at the fact that an entire 3-year wait list got bypassed for a black baby, maybe an adoption agency wouldn't take me.
Yeah, we don't know the answer though. She doesn't know the answer. We don't, so now there's a unraveling. Third person. Yeah.
Yes.
Where'd
you come from, girl?
Yeah.
You came out of nowhere. And so now it's still very much unpackaging all of this. And, you know, my biological mother who has a genuinely kind, warm, loving heart. Her mind has had to do some things to block this out.
To cope.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes. And so she is also healing. And it's this is going to be a long road and it's a hard one. But if we get the DNA confirmation that she is in fact my biological mother, it does become one of the most beautiful stories ever told with no villain.
Well, here's the thing. We know she's her biological mother. There's like almost no doubt in my mind. Like, how could she not? How she knows that she was pregnant when you were supposed to have been a fetus,
and
right?
She was in Monterey.
She knows that she had a baby. Like, everything lines up. You're just getting confirmation because I guess this feels unreal, right? Like, you're saying, like, when I find out and all that stuff. Like, we know that this is your biological mom. It's just now there are so many other unanswered questions and, you know, because she has coped with this and had to block a lot of it out, she herself doesn't have a lot of answers.
Right.
It's just a lot to take in. And this is the first time throughout this whole journey where I've seen Elizabeth get really emotional about it. Like at the beginning of all of this, I was like, I'm freaking out. Like it's about me. Right. Yeah. and now I feel like it has actually shifted and you are absorbing a lot of this. Like I can see it
in
your
day 16. Like I'm day 16. Yeah. I'm out. I'm out of bed. You know, the people that I called in my darkest days, in truth, I don't remember, you know, what all I said, but I know I was in a pretty dark space, you know, and I knew that everyone I spoke to in those days, you know, got off the phone and they were crying by the time we were off the phone. And usually I would apologize and I would feel badly for shifting that burden. I couldn't carry it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was just too much. And I'm a badass. And if I don't think I'm going to lose any of my badass points for this, but this, I honestly,
I'm going to have to do hop along if you need a hug. I love you. Here comes Sherzod.
In a million ways and for a million reasons that are impossible to describe. Hands down, the most difficult, painful experience of my life. It really is. And I will be okay. I will be. And I do think that this ends up being one of the most beautiful, beautiful, perfect stories ever told.
Mm-hmm.
But there were definitely moments and days and seasons in this round two, because again, round one was a week. Round two, I am on week 9, and I am so tired and so exhausted. My mind does not rest, but I was not sure that I make it to the other side of this. This was just, it was that painful.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I called people in those dark days, of course, I don't want to shift the burden to anyone, but I also knew that I could call on people and ask people for help, and I could give them a drop of what I was carrying. And even though it was a drop and it hurt them and it caused them to cry and it brought them sadness, it just made it so I could make it to the next hour, day, week. And I did. I had to do a lot of burden sharing because I just wrecked me in ways that I really did think I was prepared for.
Yeah.
And I have done a ton of work, and I have mentally prepared myself for this for 14 years of dedicated work to it. I was as ready as I could be, and so much less ready than I needed to be. It's this is that hard.
Yeah. You know what I think happens also in this story, and like in finding her biological mother and stuff, is you forget that they haven't come to terms with it, right? Like there are definitely things, like when Liz says that there are more questions than there are answers, you it's like she didn't expect that, right? Like it, yeah. and it's partially because she can't push other people to give all the answers, and there does seem to be like so much more to it, you know, like and you know, in some ways I blame, like I say this because I'm Asian, but it's like, you know, there is this like feeling of like being stoic when you're, it's a very cultural thing.
Yeah.
Stoic, you bury those types mm-hmm. of secrets and stuff, and you don't really bring it out. Like we are not going to get emotional and all that. Like that is the kind of cultural feeling, and you can feel it, right? Like she just wants the answers. Like just give me all the answers, but then it's like then that hurts somebody else.
But yeah. And I don't want the answers bad enough to force somebody else into discomfort.
Yeah.
Like I don't want that. And it's not worth that to me. You know, and when I finally was able to talk to my mom about it, you know, she was like, you know, this story is one that is so equally beautiful and tragic. There really is no space for anything else but compassion.
Yeah.
And I said, I 100% agree, Mom. And, you know, when this is all said and done, no matter what the outcome is, you know, I'm still really lucky. You know, all of the people that I started this search with, I still have, you know, whether they're family, moms, or, you know, friends. And I end this search with people that showed such unexpected kindness,
mm-hmm.
you know, from a place that I was certain was going to be a rejection. And they now join this beautiful story. But it, you know, I was talking to one friend, and I knew on day one of like bouncing back into the real world after getting out of bed, I was talking to one of my friends, and she was like, gosh, I'm so sorry you've had to hear all of this. Like, you know, sometimes curiosity kills the cat. And I was like, I'm not a freaking cat. Like, I'm strong enough. I'm brave enough to ask the questions. I'm strong enough to hear the answers. But there are just some answers that, if they're in the box you don't open, when you come face to face with them, and that was, you know, really interesting. And when I came face to face with one of these fears, like I looked at it and I remember I was just staring at it, and I was like, you're not scary. I'm not afraid of you. But you hurt bad enough that you could kill me. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of you, but I also know that I cannot beat you. Like, I do know that. You are powerful enough to end me. I do know that. So it's, you know, and
my goal, I wanted to do all these BuzzFeed personality tests that I couldn't ever do because I didn't know my birth date. And when I am able to process this, I'll get to do that. And I think that I asked my mom, I was like, Mom, what's the weirdest part of all this? She was like, the fact that you were born in the hospital. I was like, that's what I say. Yeah. It's the weirdest thing. And, you know, people are like, yeah, we're going to have a party on your birthday. I'm like, that does not make sense.
Yeah, it's weird.
Like, I have a birthday, and what do you call this? Is it a birth date? Is it a day you were born? Like, I don't even
know. We don't need to have the answer.
I don't know the language. Like, I don't know what we call it. Like, my birth middle name, is it my middle birth name? Is it
the
you know, there's all these little things that I just don't know how to talk about yet. And it, and I'll get there. And when I do unpackage this story in its entirety, round two alone, it is the craziest story any of us have ever heard.
Yeah,
it,
for sure.
It is hands down the craziest thing I've ever heard. But at the crux of that is one person who's on this roller coaster backwards, and it's me.
If there's one person that can handle it,
indeed,
I feel like you.
And I will, and I will, and it will be okay. And again, there will be such beauty and power extracted from it. And if I had to go through it to eliminate somebody else from doing it, I'd make the same choice. I'd still be the one walking through fire. But what I learned is that I'm not fireproof like I thought I was.
Yeah. I love you. I love you so much.
You are so brave. Yeah. And I'm you know, really grateful that you shared this story, because I know that whoever hears it is going to be so impacted.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that's a beautiful thing, right? That you can take some pain that you have and help somebody with it.
And the kindness. Like, honestly, when I'm laying in bed, I'm reading the comments for the fam, from the fam community.
Yeah.
Because and I need it. Like, I need it so badly.
It's so beautiful when people join together and
strangers
are kind. That stuff like that gives me chills. It makes me want to cry. It's
such a happy... The power of kindness.
Yep. I know. True kindness.
It can meet
genuine
you in the
care.
Darkest place. It can have the power to help you rewrite a narrative. It is the most powerful thing, and we're all capable of it.
I know.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Elizabeth, I love you so much.
We have
you.
To, I hate cutting you off.
No worries.
I love you so much.
I
Everybody
love you too.
Find her on Instagram, Elizabeth.Hunterton. This isn't the last of her story.
I feel like this is going to be a movie
someday.
One day.
Well, she knows a producer.
I know. I'm just enthralled.
I'm documenting all of this.
Yes, this is amazing. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much again
for having me. I love you, lady.
Yeah. Beautiful love words you. And story, and for being vulnerable.
And she's going to be a co-host on our next episode.
Yeah.
So keep listening, everybody, next week. We love you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Love you. Bye.